Hi, I'm Keegan.
And I'm Madigan.
And you're listening to
Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist.
This is a podcast where we explore the world through our own personal feminist perspectives.
And this week, we are talking about a subject that I feel like, honestly, I didn't want to do this topic, really. And
why?
I feel like we have to.
Yeah, why wouldn't you want to do this topic?
Because I have even well-meaning quote-unquote progressive white people are sensitive as fuck about this.
Oh, yeah. Well, I told you about the story of, like, the girl at the bar this weekend.
No, I mean, they don't understand it. And I've had so many, like, arguments with people about this.
Yeah.
Or just put in, like, really uncomfortable situations with people about this because there's so much willful ignorance around cultural appropriation because...
But I think that's a reason why we should do it.
Right, but it's just something I didn't even really want to touch because it's really hard to get people to understand. Like, because people, it's like arguing with people on the internet, right? In general.
Right.
I try not to get into conversations with people on the internet that have different ideologies than me because they don't want to hear you. And so that was something with this topic that I'm like, even progressives don't want to listen to this and they just want to argue with you.
Right.
So it makes this a difficult one to do.
Right. And for me, something that, like, whenever I've spoken to any of, like, my white friends about this, I'm like, this is a topic where you take the back seat. If you're having a conversation with a person of color about cultural appropriation and they're telling you that they feel offended or that they feel a certain something, it's kind of like when we were doing the Black History Month episodes where it's like, I'm not going to tell them how it is. I'm not going to tell you how it is because it's not my reality. I can't be like, oh, you shouldn't be offended by this. That's a time for you to take the back seat, ask questions, be inquisitive, but not in a way that is blaming or argumentative, and just let that other person share their experience. Like, have a normal conversation with somebody instead of making it so combative.
Don't do it in a way that's defensive because people automatically think that you're calling them out.
Yeah.
And they get defensive immediately, or they immediately go into, like, well, you're just ruining everything. And
no.
You know, we should kind of frame this as to why we decided to do this right now. So, Halloween just happened.
Yes.
And it's always a time when cultural appropriation comes up, and it's always a good time to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
There was the whole situation with Megyn Kelly that we talked about on our last mini episode, or on our mini episode that was too many episodes ago.
Yes.
And she also recently is going to be let go from her job. And she issued a really fucking weak-ass apology. I put apology in quotes because it's barely what that was.
Yeah.
And also, we did put a cultural appropriation post, a post about specifically not dressing as Native Americans for Halloween on our Instagram page. And the comments were so ugly that for the very first time,
we turned the
comments off. And we never turn the comments off.
No.
So that should give you some idea of the way that people respond to this subject. So I think we should have the conversation around blackface a little later on in this episode.
Can I give y'all a definition of what cultural appropriation is?
Yeah.
According to Wikipedia, a cultural appropriation is sometimes called cultural misappropriation, which is an adoption of elements of a minority culture by members of the dominant culture because of power imbalances that are a byproduct of colonialism and oppression. It differs from cultural exchange, because that's something that you'll hear a lot of people say, like, oh, I'm celebrating their culture. Like, how is this appropriation when I'm saying, oh, I like this, so I'm going to do it too.
Yeah, this episode is going to get me real heated. I can feel it already.
I love it. Do it.
There's a really good episode of Decoded, and I don't know if you've ever watched Decoded. It's Francesca Ramsey. She does these, like, short, I think it's through MTV or something, but she does, like, very short, 10-minute videos, kind of, like, breaking down certain subjects. And she did one on cultural appropriation. And according to her, and I liked the way she put this, cultural appropriation was dominant groups borrowing from, and that's in quotes, from marginalized groups who face oppression or have been stigmatized for their cultural practices throughout history. So it would be what is typically the more dominant culture, which is typically the Western culture, taking and picking and choosing from other cultures that have been marginalized throughout history and picking aspects of their culture to put on, essentially.
Right. Without having any sort of regard of the meanings behind it. And these things can include using other cultures and cultural and religious traditions, fashions, symbols, language, and songs.
Right. And again, like we said, people will oftentimes say that what they're doing is appreciating another culture. They'll say that they, you know, want to wear that protective style because they think it's beautiful or exotic. Right. And what they lack, the difference between cultural appreciation and cultural appropriation, is understanding. You have to have a certain amount of respect and understanding in order for you to say that you appreciate a culture. You're not appreciating a culture if you're not respecting it.
Well, and the other thing, too, is that if you look at Halloween costumes, that is not, to me, an appreciation. It's a costume or a mockery. It's not something that is being shown as a...
Yeah, you're not showing deference, and you're not partaking in any part of that culture. You're not engaging in any kind of cultural exchange. Like, for instance, if you were to go to an Indian wedding, that would be cultural exchange. You have been invited by those people to join in on a cultural practice.
Well, and that's my next point on here, is that it's appropriation and not cultural exchange when used outside the original cultural context, often going against the wishes of said cultures and communities. So, yes, if you're at an Indian wedding and you are dressed the way that it is appropriate to be dressed, then you're being respectful. That is cultural exchange. If you are, say, wearing something very similar and you're like, oh, I'm a Bollywood star for Halloween, that's a little bit different.
It is different. And I think
it's a lot of it different.
I think a really good example of this or one that's kind of easier to understand is when we look at, for instance, Native American cultures or, you know, the Maori of New Zealand. If we look at these cultures, for instance, the Maori of New Zealand, they have these facial tattoos that have a lot of cultural significance to them.
Yeah.
And family meaning, kind of like they're
it's important. It's very similar, too, to like Polynesian cultures, I think, too. Like,
yeah.
People get like Polynesian tattoos a lot and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And for instance, with the Maori, like these facial tattoos have a strong cultural meaning within the context of their culture. And there was a time when Jean-Paul Gaultier, the fashion designer, he ran an ad campaign with white guys with face tattoos, these Maori-style face tattoos, to sell sunglasses. And when you do that, you can't appreciate something if you're only using it to commodify something else.
Like,
it's not respectful. It's highly disrespectful. And when you're looking at, like, Native American cultures, I think that's an easy... it's not. That should be an easy one for people to understand. A headdress is culturally significant and spiritual and has specific rules that go along to it from tribe to tribe. And so to put that on to get high at Coachella or, you know, to, like, walk a runway...
It's cheapening it.
It's really disrespectful. Like, these are the same people who, if you took aspects of the Christian culture and completely, like, demeaned those aspects of that culture, it would be highly offensive to them.
That's something that's interesting that you bring up, too, because I just remember when I was in middle school, it was deeply offensive to wear, like, I remember seeing people that would, like, wear rosaries around their necks.
Right.
And I would get very, like, that's not what it's not a necklace. That's not what it's for.
And another thing, like, a lot of the people who were commenting on our post saying that, you know, everyone needs to chill out about non-Native Americans wearing Native American dress or dressing up as quote-unquote Indian sexy Pocahontas for Halloween are the same people who are up in arms about disrespecting the flag. And that's not even a spiritual significance. It's a national symbol. It's completely different. And you cannot tell one group of people that they should not be upset about you
exploiting something.
And especially a group of people, because if we're talking about, like, Western white people, which I think is generally what we're talking
about.
Although we will get into how POC can also appropriate cultures, of course. But when we're talking about Western white people in particular, what colonialism has done to the world and what they have done.
And to this country, too.
To this country
specifically at the U.S.
Yeah, specifically to this country, but worldwide. I mean, look at what they did to the Congo. If you look at what colonialism has done, the damage it has caused to people and their families throughout history, you have those settlers, mm-hmm. essentially, like the people who have committed mass genocide to your people and wrangled them onto reservations.
Now dressing up as that.
And over-sexualizing you and fetishizing you.
Well, and God, you must be, like, reading my notes.
I'm really fucking pissed off about this.
But no, it's funny because, like, as we're talking, you're, like, hitting each of my points. So this woman, Kirsten Johnson, has written that the imitator who does not experience that oppression is able to play temporarily an exotic other without experiencing daily discriminations faced by other cultures. And an African-American academic, musician, and journalist, Greg Tate, argues that appropriation fetishizes cultures and is alienating the original culture.
Yeah.
So kind of what you just said. It really is. It's playing it. It's a very cheapened representation of something that you really don't know anything about. And that's, it reminds me of when we talk about, like, the problematic faves,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, you can still like something, but you have to know, like, what it is behind it. And I'm not saying that with Halloween costumes. I'm saying, like, you can appreciate different cultures things, but you have to, like, know the meanings behind it. And then once you know the meaning, say, is this a good thing for me to wear? Is this a good thing for me to show in some
way? Right. I mean, and also you have to understand that just because you maybe have learned the history of something, maybe you've read the history, maybe you have studied African cultures, you still don't have a right to put a dashiki on.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, if you've done enough of that, you should know better too than
you,
to
you should,
do
but
that.
I think people kind of use that as an excuse because they say, well, I obviously love this culture. Now, it's different if you are studying African cultures and you're in Africa,
yes.
or you're in a setting where that's appropriate. That's one thing.
Yeah.
But for you to put it on and be like, well, I have a lot of knowledge about this culture, so I should be allowed to do this.
Yeah.
That, because you're not being sensitive to the people of that culture who you might meet.
No, that reminds me of is, like, whenever you, like, find some white guy who's really into hip-hop and they're like, well, white people actually started hip-hop.
Oh my God, I will break your nose.
I've heard that so many times from people where I'm like,
no, they didn't either. And they also didn't start rock and roll. And guess what? You appropriated that shit too.
Sure did, Keegan. So, sure fucking did.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what's frustrating is, like, so often, and that's what people need to remember, like, the things that you take on and get credit for as being, like, trendy or fashionable or beautiful are things that other cultures have been doing for a long time and getting a lot of shit for.
Yeah.
So when you put cornrows in your fashion show on all white models, like cornrows and baby hairs and the baddie kind of aesthetic, which is, like, existed long fingernails, neon colors, big hoop earrings.
You're not realizing.
Right. They've existed
in the discrimination that other people have gone through because of those same
things. Yeah, they've existed in the Latino and the Black American culture forever, and those cultures have been denigrated for those things.
Yes.
And now you're using it as a fashion statement and making millions of dollars on it because you put it on a white body, and that's so fucking offensive.
Oh, it's very offensive.
Yeah.
It's awful. So there is something that I read called The Declaration of War Against Exploiters of Lakota Spirituality, which I want to read real quick because I really like it.
Please do.
It says, we assert a posture of zero tolerance for any white man's shaman who rises from our own communities to authorize the expropriation of our ceremonial ways by non-Indians. All such, quote, plastic medicine men are enemies of the Lakota, Dakota, and Nakota people. And it goes on. You can say something first, though.
And you have to understand that while this might sound harsh to you as a white person who's saying, like, I'm just trying to do good.
Fucking deal with it.
Well, and if you're saying, look, I'm not trying to say that I don't understand what it must feel like to be like, I'm trying to do good, I'm trying to learn about these cultures in the right way, and you feel like they're pushing back against you because...
But just be okay with it. Like, no, I honestly just don't understand because, like, if somebody... It's just like in life. It's like you say the wrong thing and you're like, hey, that really bothered me when you said that. Or, oh, when you did that, it really bothered me. And you're like, okay, I'm so sorry. Help me not make this mistake again.
Well...
That's all you have to do.
It is, but at the same time, I'm saying... There's a degree to which I understand that. I understand being, like, you know, feeling like you can't do it the right way or do anything right. But what you also need to understand is that the Lakota tribe, in particular, recently, I mean, I was learning about their tribe, and, like, they have massive unemployment rates, as do most reservations. I have family on the reservation, Navajo reservation. there's massive unemployment. There's massive alcoholism. There's massive sexual assaults of Native American women. This is a direct result of colonialism.
Yeah.
So they have a right to be angry.
Exactly.
And to not want you around.
So then Article 31.1 of the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples states, Indigenous peoples have the right to maintain, control, protect, and develop their cultural heritage, traditional knowledge, and traditional cultural expressions, as well as the manifestations of their sciences, technologies, and cultures, including human and genetic resources, seeds, medicines, knowledge of the properties of fauna and flora, oral traditions, literatures, designs, sports, and traditional games, and visual and performing arts. They also have the right to maintain, control, protect, and develop their intellectual property over such cultural heritage,
yes,
traditional knowledge, and traditional cultural experiences.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, and that's something that other people need to understand, too. And this is something that we'll get into more when we talk a little bit about blackface and why mm-hmm. blackface is so wrong. Forever, up until now, for the most part, people of color have not been able to tell their own stories.
Mm-hmm.
Think back to most of the most famous, well-known movies that feature Native Americans.
Yeah, who written the fuck by is, white people.
And who's in the lead.
Yeah.
You got Daniel Day-Lewis and you got Kevin Costner, dude. Like,
yeah.
So, for so long, not only have they been written by white people, they've
starred.
They've
been the heroes.
They've been framed from the perspective of a white person who was let in. You know
what
I mean?
They were let in and then they were like, let me help you. You know what I mean? Instead of like accepting
how
they were.
It's a white savior situation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or they understand the beauty of it whenever, oh my God, I thought they were savages.
Yeah.
But none of that, it all reinforces negative stereotypes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I agree. I agree. Should we talk about sports teams?
Ugh, yeah.
I don't really have, like, a list of them, like, listed, but that's something that I feel like is so frustrating, where they will use, especially with Native American culture, as, like, mascots and team names and things like that.
It's fucking gross.
I can't believe it's still around in 2018.
Yeah, the Cleveland Indians. It's,
yeah.
And, you know, of course, the Redskins, which is the most racist name
it's
you could
so
have.
So racist.
As well.
It's so racist.
It's so racist. And I had a conversation with someone a couple of years ago. It boggles my mind the way that people are able to do the mental gymnastics to mm-hmm. get around the fact that this is really
embarrassing. Oh, but like, they've been called this for a really long time.
Well,
or, oh, there's
I
this.
I talked to somebody who was like, I can't remember what we were talking about, and me saying that it was racist. It might have been blackface or something like that. And he was like, yeah, totally, totally. And I was just like, you know, it's the same thing with, you know, the Cleveland Indians or the Redskins. Like, that is so offensive. And he goes, I don't really think I feel the same way about those things. Because, you know, like, I grew up with, like, Cowboys and Indians.
Mm.
And I was like, okay. Look, man, we all grew up in, like, with, like, fucked up beliefs and,
yeah.
like, understanding of you know,
that
cultures.
Doesn't mean you hold on to them.
It doesn't mean you hold on to it. It doesn't make it right just because it's nostalgic to you.
Right.
And you're a white person, so you don't get to say that.
So I love the Mary Martin version of Peter Pan. Have you ever
right.
seen it?
Yes.
Oh, it's so good. Tiger Lily is a blonde chick.
Why is the red man red?
Yeah. But then, and Tiger Lily is a blonde chick.
Yeah. And then you have this whole idea of like the noble savage, like in the cartoon version of
Peter Pan.
Ugh. All of the Native Americans are caricatures.
Very, very stereotypical.
And in a very bad way, except for Tiger Lily.
Yeah.
Because she's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Because she's supposed to be the hyper-sexualized, beautiful Native American, which is the other stereotype that you have. Anyway, okay, so let's get back on the subject of, you know, cultural appropriation. And this is not just a people versus color versus white people thing. I have also had people say that, you know, people of color cannot appropriate cultures, and you absolutely can.
Really?
Yeah, yes.
Well, I mean, I guess they can appropriate from, like,
other cultures. Yeah, of course.
Okay, because the way that you said it in my mind was, like, you'd be appropriating, like, white culture, and I'm like, that
no,
doesn't
no,
sound
no.
like it
oh,
exists.
No, no, no. Oh, we'll get to that. I have notes on that as well.
That's
does not
a
exist.
Thing.
That does not exist.
That's it's like reverse racism. Sorry, guys. Reverse racism doesn't exist.
No, that's assimilation.
Deal with
and,
it.
And we'll talk about assimilation a little bit, but people of color can appropriate other cultures. Mm-hmm. Like, I've seen that where, you know, a black woman will dress as a Native American for Halloween, and for some reason people think because she's also brown that that's okay. It's not okay.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah.
But as long as we're on the topic, let's talk about appropriation versus assimilation and what that means. Because inevitably, when you are talking about black hair, for instance, and saying that, you know, a white person wearing cornrows is appropriation, you will get some ignorant white person in the comments who will say something about how, well, black girls wear blonde weaves,
yeah,
so aren't they appropriating my culture? Or, you know, Chinese people wear blue jeans, so aren't they appropriating Western culture? And first of all, nobody has ever been discriminated against for being born with blonde hair.
No.
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 No one has ever been fired from a job,
mm-mm,
for being born blonde. So there's that already. And then secondly, the other reason it's not cultural appropriation,
yeah,
is because blonde hair doesn't belong to one culture. There are blonde people of every race. There are black,
right,
people who are born blonde.
Yeah.
You know what I
mean?
Well,
I was going to say, I had a friend who was adopted from Africa, and she's albino. Like, she is light-skinned,
yes,
and has blonde hair, but she is still from
blonde
Africa.
Hair does not belong to a culture, so it cannot be appropriation.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to, you know, the whole blue jeans argument, for instance.
I did not even know that was a thing. That's dumb.
All of it's dumb. Anytime people try and make these arguments, they're so weak because,
like,
there is no comparing. It's so ridiculous. Well, because it's not part of their traditional culture, so why would they start wearing Western clothes?
But we wear Japanese, like, fashion designers and things like that.
Well, there is a certain amount of borrowing between cultures that,
yeah,
always happens. But the bigger issue of it is that the reason why people of color might dress in Western styles
is to maybe not be discriminated against.
Correct.
Can you imagine, like, I'm just trying to think of how hard it would be if you are a black woman in America and you were expected to only wear your culture's, like, attire and wear, like,
you'd be singled out constantly.
Yeah, I mean, look at like the Muslim religion and the way that, you know, any of their headdresses,
yeah,
is like,
you're singled out constantly. And in addition to that, while we're on the subject of saying that, you know, this is the perfect example, saying that black women straightening their hair is,
yeah,
appropriating your culture, whenever black women can't wear their hair natural in a lot of settings.
Exactly.
Because it's not deemed professional, because professional is based on the European standard of,
exactly,
of what's
of
normal.
Of what is supposed to be tamed and everything,
yeah,
like that.
So,
yeah.
Here's a quote from that Decoded video with Francesca Ramsey. Marginalized people conforming to standards set by dominant, or in this case, Western cultures, is often a means of survival. If your cultural heritage is looked down on, often people change or hide things about themselves in order to be accepted by majority,
mm-hmm,
culture. It's not the same thing as you,
no,
deciding you want to put on a kimono. It is,
no,
not the same thing.
It's definitely not the same thing at all.
And I will say, like, I didn't do it because I felt very weird about it, but there are, once again, instances, I don't want it to get confused, there are instances where it's okay. Like, whenever I was in South Korea, I remember being kind of, like, appalled because walking around, like, downtown South Korea, there would be a lot of tourists in traditional dress.
Yeah.
There were places you could go and rent the traditional dresses and, like,
yeah,
rent them for a day and, like, wear them throughout town or whatever. And I remember being, like, really uncomfortable by it. But then I had a conversation with my brother, who was living in South Korea at the time, that it is really part of their cultural exchange. It's part of their tourism industry.
Right.
And
yeah,
it's,
well, and it's also, it's showing them the appreciation of it, I feel like, behind it. Because I feel the same way. Where
and
I've
you're
seen
in
videos,
South Korea.
You're there, and it's like them teaching you about their culture. If you were to just, like, start rocking one in the U.S. or, like, not learning about the history of it while you're in South Korea, I feel like it's a little bit different.
Right.
But this is something that is really part of, from what I understand, part of their tourist lifestyle, and they want the people who come to visit to kind of understand that.
Right.
Part.
To me, that is part of cultural exchange. So I do want to,
yeah,
make it very clear that there are instances where I think it's it is okay, obviously.
You just check in with yourself. You know what I mean? Like, just check in with yourself, see if this is really what you want to do. And if you're second-guessing yourself, then maybe just don't do it.
Right. You know? Yeah. Agreed. There are also, like, a lot of ways to enjoy other cultures, which is another way that I feel like this kind of falls short for me whenever people are saying, I'm just trying to enjoy this culture and, you know, you're not allowing me to be able to enjoy this culture. There are many ways to be able to enjoy a culture. Travel. Yeah. You know what I mean? Read a book. Go to a museum. You know, make friends with people of that culture.
Or just, like, educate people about it as well.
Yeah.
You don't have to look a certain way to appreciate a culture.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And understand the deeper context of why it's offensive to people, because, you know, it does range. Like, the reasons why it can be offensive, it does range. You might have the settler colonial dynamic that you have with Native American cultures, or you might have the really painful history of slavery that you have with African American cultures or other Black cultures. Yeah. So there are all different kinds of dynamics at play as to why it's really not okay.
Yeah, I was reading a little bit about appropriation of African American culture, which I know that you can talk for a lot about, and something came up that I haven't heard this word in so long, and I hate even saying it. The word Wigga.
Ugh, yeah.
Right?
That was a big thing in,
that was
like,
a big thing.
The early 2000s.
We had, like, I remember in high school, like, when all the white dudes would wear, what was it, Echo? It's like, the definition, again, Wikipedia, you come through. A person who adopts the mannerisms, language, and fashion associated with African American culture. Ugh. And then it talked a little bit about how, like, white people appropriating elements of Black culture goes back since slavery was abolished in the Western world. And that's very much the same as a lot of, like, Native American cultures. Like, as soon as we kind of came in and took over, we started to take the fashions and the way of lives as the Native
music.
American and the music and take it as our own.
Right. And, you know, okay, so let's kind of take it back a little bit to talk about the Megyn Kelly situation.
Yes.
So when Megyn Kelly apologized, in quotes, apologized for saying that blackface was okay on Halloween in her belief, she opened her apology by saying, it's never okay to go as someone else's culture. It's not okay for Black people to dress as white people.
Yeah.
Or white people to dress as Black people. We're going to need to stop you right fucking there.
Yeah.
Because
who are her PR people, for real? Like,
well, I have a theory.
What the fuck?
Because also in that apology, she was like, I just found out yesterday that this isn't okay. And I'm like, fuck you. No, you didn't. You knew it wasn't okay. And I have a theory that you kind of wanted to court controversy a little bit. You and found yourself in more trouble than you expected to be.
Yeah, that's a dangerous place to stir.
Right, but this is coming from a person who also a few years ago said that Santa Claus was white, and that's why there shouldn't be any you know, Santa Claus.
I'm laughing not because it's funny, but just because it's fucking ridiculous.
She literally said this thing, you know, but that was back when she was on Fox News. Can't do that shit on, like, ABC or whatever fucking network you were on. But, like, so first of all, there's that. And I need to address that because we don't have a history. Again, it comes down to appropriation versus assimilation, right? There is no damaging history of whiteface in this country.
No.
So to even bring that into the conversation,
it's her trying to make herself look better.
And trying to lessen the impact of, like, whatever the fuck you just did.
When, like, literally forever, like, in movies and in culture, like, blackface has been such a big thing.
Well, and such a damaging thing. Again, we have a history of Black and brown people not being able to tell their own stories, and white people creating stories about Black people that were highly offensive.
Yeah.
And not only creating those stories, but then going and playing those characters in a way that was incredibly damaging, portraying Black people as being dangerous, like we saw in Birth of a Nation, or lazy, or stupid.
Yeah.
And we feel the repercussions of that minstrel show to this day.
Oh, it's still seen in popular movies and television shows and theater.
If you don't think that that framed, we take in media in a very particular way, and it absorbs into our consciousness. And if those are the only messages that are being fed to white America, what is that doing? And if those are the only messages that are being fed to black kids and black America, what is that doing?
Right. Exactly.
It's
doing it for both sides of the coin.
Right. There's context there.
Yeah.
This doesn't exist in a vacuum, and that context makes it not okay to do it. It doesn't matter if you think that you're doing it because you respect that person or that culture. It doesn't
matter.
Especially
in that way, when you, I don't know. For me, it's like you look at any of the history of it, and it's frightening.
It's
like
it's literally the dehumanization of people.
Yeah.
It's the dehumanization of black people.
Yeah.
And in that way, even if you don't mean it, even if you're just Julianne Hough putting on bronzer and putting her and listen,
don't get me started.
And I believe that that was a mistake. I believe that that was ignorance. I understand that, but you also can't say that people being upset about that is silly because there is such a
huge every right to be upset.
History. Of you just
that was some
to do
dark
it.
Fucking bronzer. If that was bronzer,
it was bronzer because she was orange. It was bronzer, but just don't do it.
Yeah,
just you could have and on it. And here's another thing that we should address. Sorry that I'm like taking over this, but
I don't care.
The other thing
you should.
The other thing that we should address, and we talked about this before too, is if Julianne Hough had done that exact same thing, if she wanted to be crazy eyes for Halloween, that would have been fine if she hadn't put fucking bronzer on her face.
Yeah, well, this is something I showed Keegan this picture this weekend that we have to post on Instagram of this little boy who went as Malcolm X, and it was a little white boy, and he just, like, put on the glasses
and put on a suit.
And, like, if people don't know who you are, they'll say, oh, who are you? And he'll go, I'm Malcolm X. And that was such a beautiful representation
of exactly
how to dress as one of your heroes or a character that you really like and do it in a way that isn't incredibly offensive.
If you want to be Diana Ross, you know,
like
to Megyn Kelly's point, like Anthony, if you want to be Diana Ross, be Diana Ross. Don't fucking paint your face black, though.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. And, you know, the other thing I kind of wanted to say in addition to Halloween, when we're talking about Halloween, a lot of people want to make the argument, and somebody made this argument on our post on our Instagram about it, that, like, if a kid wants to go as Pocahontas, you should let them. I hear you.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I had a Pocahontas costume as a kid.
I did, too.
There's a difference. I actually, personally, don't have a problem with characters. To me, I don't have a problem with characters.
Yeah, I read an interesting article about whether or not you should let your white child dress as Moana.
To me, I don't have necessarily an issue with that.
I think if you're
coloring, you don't paint your fucking kid's face.
Yeah, I hear you.
Just don't, because to me, it's very clearly, like, if a little white girl wanted to put on the Tiana, you know, Princess and the Frog dress.
She should be able to.
And to me, that's not a problem. But the problem becomes whenever you're just like, you're going to just be a little Indian. And I actually was a little Native American girl. In kindergarten, like, I have pictures.
I was much older than I care to admit because I didn't know.
No, I mean, and also,
you know what I mean?
Also,
like, I don't know.
Yes, in the interest of being fair to our listeners, I don't think really anybody knew. I think societally, we didn't talk about cultural appropriation until recently. And so there is a little bit of give. There is a little bit of forgiveness there.
Right, and I was going to say, forgive yourself for, like, if there's things that you know now. Because for me, at the time, like, I think I was, like, 18, 19 years old.
I wasn't young. For way too long.
Yeah, you know? And it's like, you just don't get it. But, like, now that the information is out there, it's time to start kind of reframing your mindset
around it. And here's the main issue with it, or the main thing to take out of it. When you know better, do better.
Yep.
If you know better and you're still deciding to be shitty about it, that's when it's wrong. If you didn't know, I mean, there's no, you're not born knowing everything, and you're not raised in a situation where you know everything, right?
Yeah.
Like, so.
So I read this article on USA Today where the heading on my, I don't know what the article was called, but I just wrote, how to not be offensive on Halloween, or just in general. So I read about this thing called the three S's of, like, how to kind of, like, check in with yourself about whether or not you're appropriating a culture or not. So the first S is source. Think first about the source culture. Has this culture been historically discriminated against or oppressed? Number two, significance or sacredness. What is the significance of what you're taking? Does it have major cultural significance? Is it something sacred, such as a Native American headdress? Number three is similarity. Are you interpreting or being inspired by someone else's culture or just copying? And I think that's kind of a good checklist to go through a little bit, where it's like, what are the reasons that I am doing this? Is it like, is this the best thing for me to be doing? Do I understand the significance and sacredness of it?
Right.
Because then once you've gone through those points in your mind, you can kind of make more of an informed decision and kind of maybe understand why you shouldn't do certain things.
Right. And what's acceptable? Because like, as we said earlier, of course, cultures have been borrowing things from other cultures, exchanging things, taking things, changing them, tweaking them for as long as we've existed, right?
Yeah.
Like, so there's always going to be an aspect of that. Nothing lives free of anything else. Nothing lives in a vacuum. There are going to be textiles that were taken from another, you know, part of the world.
Right. You just have to be conscious of the decisions that you're making and making sure that you're doing them in the best way possible. Fashion to me is a big one. I was reading about how it's like often these things are stolen without credit, without compensation, of a culture, and without any sort of recognition at all. And so I think that's what's important, where if you're going to, like, let's say in some weird world where I'm a fashion designer and I was like, I really want something that's taken from another culture. I can't think of anything off the top of my head. The steps that I would possibly take is talking to people from that culture, ask about what I can do. If I was like a successful fashion designer, how can the thing that I'm making help their culture? Help
right.
them in some way. Make sure that's what they want. Make sure that that's okay. Work with them and go from there.
Right.
If it's not okay with them or things like that, I don't know if I'm right.
I mean,
but like, that would be my thought process.
A good example of a way that this was done very poorly, and it sucks because they have some cute things, but I do try to limit the amount that I go there or shop there because they do a lot of shit like this. Urban Outfitters, a couple of years ago.
I know, I have a lot of Urban Outfitters.
Listen,
we
have to forgive ourselves.
Probably 90% of my closet.
But they, a few years ago, did this thing where they were selling Navajo print things. And that's how they were marketing it as well. And I believe that they were sued by the Navajo people.
Yeah.
Because not only are you taking designs and textiles directly from their culture without giving them any compensation for it, but you're also using their name.
Yeah.
And another big argument that they had with that is, and having family that are Navajo, being from the Southwest, particularly from New Mexico, where there are, you know, a lot of Navajo reservations, it is such a big part of their economy.
Yeah.
That for you to then take that, mass produce it, and sell it as shitty quality at a very, very high rate, you are basically stealing. You're stealing from these people. You're not only their designs, but you're literally taking money out of their hands.
It's
you
true.
Know what I mean? Like,
it's true. I mean, we talked about this in the show before. Like, I have a really beautiful ring that was made by a Native American tribe in northern Minnesota.
Was.
Yeah. And like, I love it. And it was one of those things where it's like they did a trading system with this store because they wanted their jewelry to be sold there because it's kind of like a tourist attraction area. So like the store, you know, they didn't exchange money. The store, like, they traded with them. They traded goods for them. And it's part of the culture of that part of Minnesota. And it was beautiful. And I felt like I was helping that culture rather than like wearing it as a fashion trend.
Right.
I mean, it's beautiful.
Yes.
You
well,
know?
And again, I understand how this can be kind of a confusing line for people.
Right.
But there is a difference, especially, again, coming from a culture that is highly influenced by Native American culture. Like, if you've ever been to New Mexico, New Mexico is, even when they say New Mexican food, they say New Mexican food because it's not Mexican food, because it's Mexican food mixed with Spanish food mixed with Native American food. Like,
right.
that's what it is,
exactly.
because it's such
I mean,
a,
even look at the license plates. I mean,
right.
everything to do with
everything
New Mexico.
Everything about New Mexico is so deeply influenced by Native American cultures that if you're from there, it can be very easy to kind of, like, co-opt that culture.
Yeah.
But you just need to be conscious of enjoying that culture and enjoying the region that you're from and taking those beautiful things from that region as part of that culture and not literally stealing from them.
Right,
you know what
exactly.
I mean? When I go to New Mexico, I love to buy turquoise jewelry, and I usually buy directly from tribes.
I was going to say, because you're buying from the source. You're not stealing it from them. You're helping them in some way, shape, or form by purchasing their product.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that that's a beautiful form of cultural appreciation.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, I understand that it's confusing.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry if we're confusing you, listeners, but...
It's confusing. Can we talk a little bit about celebrity controversies and then get into some Halloween stuff?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so some celebrity controversies. In 2003, Prince Harry used indigenous art motifs in a painting for a school project. An Aboriginal group said the motifs were indicative of our spiritualism, and when non-Aborigines uses the motifs, they are simply painting a pretty picture. And I think that that puts it very well, where it doesn't have a deeper understanding. It's just...
It's a good example of... that is something that's vital to their spiritual experience.
Yeah. It's equivalent. It doesn't mean the same thing.
Yeah, it's equivalent to what we would think of as a religious ceremony, probably, and you taking it and co-opting it as fun times is not the same.
Yeah. So in 2012, which you kind of mentioned earlier, Victoria's Secret fashion show, Karlie Kloss wore a Native American feathered headdress with leather bra and panties and high-heeled moccasins to represent Thanksgiving. It was like a... like a calendar girls
I'm
thing.
Sure that Native American tribes loved that.
Well, Victoria's Secret removed it from the broadcast and apologized. And Kloss also commented on the decision by tweeting, "I am deeply sorry if what I wore during the Victoria's Secret show offended anyone. I support Victoria's Secret's decision to remove the outfit from the broadcast."
And that's an appropriate way to respond.
I think that is a very appropriate way to respond. And that brings up another thing for me that as I was writing that, do you know about Minnetonka moccasins, the brand?
Yes.
Minnetonka is a city in Minnesota, so I grew up wearing, like, Minnetonka moccasins.
I think I owned a pair as well.
Yeah, that makes me... I still have some. Like, that makes me wonder, too. I'm like, man, am I, like... I need to do more research on that to see, like,
what... Yeah, I think
like,
it really comes down to where they come from.
Yeah,
you know?
It's like, interesting because it is from Minnetonka. You know, a lot of, like, our cities are named after...
I would want to know... I think what I would look for is, even if it's not... again, like what we said, even if it's not owned by Native Americans, are some of the profits going back to that tribe?
I think I'm gonna look into that a little bit because that's something that I never really thought about. And then when I read that, I was like, ooh, I don't wear them very often, but I was like, I should probably look into that just to see, just so I know what it is.
Yeah.
So Avril Lavigne came out with a song called Hello Kitty.
Oh, I saw that.
The song and video depict Asian women dressed in matching outfits as Lavigne eats Asian food dressed in a pink tutu. And this is what she says. She says, "I love Japanese culture and I spend half of my time in Japan. I flew to Tokyo to shoot this video specifically for my Japanese fans with my Japanese label, Japanese choreographers, and a Japanese director in Japan." What do you think about that?
I want to say, you know, off the top of my head, based on that, I don't necessarily have a problem with that.
I can see watching it and then maybe having that gut reaction.
Right,
but I think the way that she went about it is the best
way if you're going to do something like that. You're not doing the Gwen Stefani Harajuku girl route, which was really fucked up.
But, I don't remember that.
But she had a whole period of time where the Harajuku girls, they like followed her around. There were just a bunch of, she had an entourage of like Asian girls, Japanese girls who followed her around. But, I think, I understand how when looking at something like that, video...
That would be your gut reaction.
Your gut reaction would be that because what it looks like is that you're using Asian women and culture as props or, you know...
Definitely.
Decoration.
But I like that she came out and kind of explained herself. So that's why I was kind of curious about what you're thinking about.
If that's true and that's truly the case,
then
I don't really have a problem with that. And I doubt that Japanese people... in Japan would have a problem with that either because she was doing something very specifically for her Japanese fans. But I mean, again, it's...
Right.
But I see how people would maybe have an issue with it only because it looks like you're using Japanese women as props.
Yes.
Which has, again, been done...
Happened a lot.
Well, not just Japanese women. Women of color have been used as props.
Always.
If you've ever seen 20 Feet from Stardom, where it was like background singers... you know how, like, they're almost always black?
Yeah.
And they're very talented, and there's, like, they focus specifically on that Rolling Stones song, Gimme Shelter.
Oh, yeah.
And...
Also, you guys, Keegan was laughing, so I was giving her a strip show. She wasn't laughing.
Yeah, Madigan's almost naked.
I could be more naked.
I know, you really could be.
I could be more.
I'm not complaining.
I know you're not.
but, yeah, so I see how that could be...
Yeah.
How that could look optically.
Do you remember when Selena Gomez wore a bindi for all her, if you're ready, come and get
she's
it.
She's done that a whole few video. Times.
Yeah.
She's performed like that several times.
Oh, a lot. Yeah, well, whenever she did that song, she would dress like that because that's how the video was. So there's that. And then Pharrell wore a Native American war bonnet on the cover of Elle UK.
He did.
Then as soon as people came forward and were upset, he apologized.
Yeah.
Great. Love it. Amanda Steinberg, our girl,
came out
with a video when she was in high school. This is like years ago when she kind of like, she was in the Hunger Games and she kind of like, people weren't really paying attention to her, and now she's kind of starting to come back. And she made a video that said, "Don't cash crop on my cornrows," where she calls out Katy Perry and Iggy Azalea of using black culture as a way of being edgy and gaining attention. She later criticized Kylie Jenner, which we talked about on our Kardashians episode, for embracing African-American aesthetic values without addressing the issues that affect the community.
Which, I think that's an issue with all of those people that she mentioned. I remember Katy Perry's video where she had that grill in.
Yeah, and the cornrows. And
yeah, and it was really... And then I also remember Taylor Swift in that Shake It Off video.
Shake It Off, yeah.
Which, again, felt like using black women as props to twerk in your video and you putting on, like,
and you'd be like
giant hoops, hoop earrings and kind of acting. Again, you know,
I get
you know
that
I'm
it was showing all the different dances and the whatever,
and
but
you know
it
I'm
was...
coming around on Taylor Swift.
But
you also can't hide behind your cutesy white girlness in that video. Like, I'm just awkward and doofy, and I don't get it.
Azalea Banks also criticized Iggy Azalea for failing to comment on black issues despite capitalizing on the appropriation of African-American culture in her music, which I think really did her in.
It really did.
She would be like, we're the greatest of all time, like, I'm the greatest, and it's like, but you're capitalizing on a style of music and a genre that has been mainly black women trying to kind of get, like, she just, I thought, when I first heard her music, I thought it was Nicki Minaj. I'm sorry, I'm so dumb when it comes to that kind of stuff. But it's like, she does have, she's trying to, like, mimic a certain style, and without ever really coming forward, and,
it's the lack of acknowledgement that's the problem.
Exactly. Acknowledging the culture and the things that are going wrong.
Things that we saw with, and you can criticize these people for, you know, a myriad of different reasons, but things that we did see with, like, artists like Macklemore or Eminem is that they did acknowledge that this is not part of their culture.
Oh, Macklemore, you mean my cousin?
Oh, yeah, you know.
My cousin.
From Minnesota.
He's from Washington, I think.
Is he?
But we're both Haggerty's, and it's spelled the same way.
Oh, okay.
Right. Proud to be a Haggerty. Okay. So then I'm going to get on to Rachel. I can't remember how to say her name.
Dolezal?
Dolezal.
Fuck her. Fuck this bitch.
Right? Fuck. Okay. She made headlines in 2015 when it was discovered that she was not African American, as she had claimed. She was a civil rights activist. She was the president of the NAACP chapter in Spokane, Washington, and resigned when there was suspicion that she had lied about 9 hate crimes against her. How fucked in the head do you have to be to not only say, I'm a black woman when you're white, but also be like, here's all these hate crimes? It's like you're, and to be the president of the NAAACP in Spokane.
This woman is trash, and I've heard people try and argue with me about whether or not she's trash because she did a lot of good for the black community in Spokane.
I get that. But in a way that is so shitty. That's great that you're doing good things, but like that doesn't mean that you're a good person.
No, and things that you did are correct. Here are the reasons why I'll tell you that her doing good things for the black community don't negate what she did. One, claiming hate crimes against you is demeaning to all black people.
That's a fucking hate
who've
crime.
Who've already experienced hate crimes. There's that. There's the fact that you spoke about and got paid to tour about your experience as a black woman when you did not actually have those experiences. Mm-hmm. You took money out of the hands of actual black women, black academics, who could have been having those conversations.
Agreed.
And then three, as a white woman working within the black community is very welcoming in general, and they would have welcomed you in to help them with their cause.
Had you just been
as a white woman, you did not need to cosplay as a black woman in order to do that. And in fact, we could have used your role as a white ally probably a lot. We could have used that a lot more.
Yeah, than you claiming to be a black woman.
Yeah, so fuck you. just, I hate this woman.
No, I do too. There's a documentary that I've had on my list to watch for a while. I just want to
I won't watch it. It's The Rachel Divide. On Netflix?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard that it's very sympathetic to her.
Oh, then I won't watch it.
I mean, watch it and let me know, but that's what I've heard.
No, I'm good. It's going to make me mad. I can't do the red pill again. Can't do any experience like that ever again.
Yeah, that was hard. A lot of champagne that week.
Right? So now I'm going to move on to Halloween and cultural appropriation. So I get it, you guys. Halloween is over. It's not for us. Right now it's Tuesday night when we're recording. Halloween is tomorrow. But for you all, Halloween is over. So let's just talk about next year a little bit. Things that you probably shouldn't dress as.
Yeah, things to look out for.
You know, so Halloween originally began as people dressing in costume to ward off evil spirits. So when we're talking about the Western culture. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen Meet Me in St. Louis?
Mm-hmm.
So when I love that scene where they're burning all the furniture and then they knock on the door and then they throw powder in like the evil guy's face.
Yeah,
and
Halloween used to be violent AF, guys.
Violent as fuck. And then also like it used to be like you're not dressing up as a particular character. Like in that movie, they're dressed like in their father's like suits mm-hmm. and like a weird nose yeah, and a hat.
That.
You know, it's
I love
just
that movie.
Me too. It's one of my favorites. But it isn't like, oh, we're dressing as a specific like person. Like all the guys are dressed as girls and the girls are dressed as guys. And it's just like this kind of like hodgepodge, grab whatever's in your closet. Closet in your house kind of costume thing, which I really love. So nowadays we dress more as particular people or characters mm-hmm. or cultures. So there's some of these that I really haven't thought a lot about. And I got all of this from a Bustle article and I'm calling this What Not to Wear Halloween Edition. Ninja. Ninjas aren't super sneaky characters that fight in dark shadows. They're real people in Japan and did similar work to our modern-day CIA. They are not a costume. The Voodoo Witch Doctor. From religious practices in Louisiana, Brazil, Dominican Republic, Cuba, and Haitian voodoo, none of these religions bear any resemblance to the Hollywood version of voodoo, and it is a harmful stereotype of real religions and beliefs.
That's true.
We've already talked about this a lot, but Native American, dressing up as like a Native American princess. Dressing like any other racial group for Halloween is not okay. This costume is gross considering the mass genocide of indigenous Americans during the United States founding, and Native Americans continue to experience discrimination at an extremely high level, like we said.
And like we said, and I just want to reiterate, Native American women experience sexual yes. assault at a disproportionately high rate.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that we sexualize them in this way
is making it even worse.
Pocahontas costumes makes it even worse.
Yeah. So anything to do with Day of the Dead. Halloween and Day of the Dead are not the same. And if they were, it's still not okay to use symbols from it as a costume. Dia de los Muertos is a Mexican holiday which occurs November 1st, which is All Souls Day, to honor friends and family who have passed away. So kind of making a mockery of that.
Once again, not the greatest. Unless you are invited to a Day of the Dead party.
Yeah. Don't do
by
it.
By someone who is Mexican.
Don't do it. Yeah, not from...
Avoid that.
Not from Rachel. All right, Geisha. Many wear this costume thinking it's sexy, but this is why wearing the costume isn't cool. Geishas were entertainers, they were not sex workers, and don't dress as a stereotyped version of a cultural figure. Don't do it. I mentioned this one earlier, Bollywood star. Wearing traditional Indian dress and calling it Bollywood isn't cool. It is an offensive stereotype that flattens Indian culture to one trope, which I completely agree with. Like we were talking about, if you're invited to an Indian wedding and being respectful and like that's what you do, great. If you are focusing on only one type of that culture, like one part of it, and capitalizing on that, that's not cool.
And most of the time, can I just say, whenever white people argue with me about this shit, I get the distinct sense, especially with things like, you know, Indian dress, Bollywood yeah. dress, they just want to wear something pretty.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much like their excuse.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to bleep out this word, but... So, the G word is actually a racial slur, according to the National Organization for Women, historically used to stigmatize and discriminate against Romani people, an actual ethnic minority group with a history of persecution in Europe. And it is not code for free spirit or wanderlust.
Right. Okay. So, I spent some time in Romania,
mm-hmm.
and We spent a lot of time with Romani people. We spent a lot of time at their camps and working with them. And I can say that the way that they are treated in that country, and I'm guessing in a lot of other countries as well, is really upsetting.
It's interesting, and I want to learn more about it, but I believe my mom's side of the family had, like, a pamphlet where they had said that we came from that kind of culture. I'm not going to say the word again. That we came from...
Romani.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know, but they didn't use that, and that's why I don't know if maybe that's even... They used the G word.
Yeah, I don't know. Do it 23andMe.
I'm
going to have
to... Yeah, I know, right? I want you so bad. I'm going to look into that. But my mom's always said that, and I remember reading a pamphlet about that kind of thing. Like, they were, like... But it may be that they used that word, but I know that they were, like, merchants and travelers
and
also, things like that.
Also, that word has become synonymous with,
exactly.
with travelers or nomadic
right.
people.
So that's what I'm saying. Right. I would like to know that if it was what it legitimately is.
Right. You can be...
Or if it was a term that was used in this pamphlet as a way to describe
And also,
that.
While we're on the subject, I think we can say it because everybody understands, like, the context of what we're talking about right now.
Yeah.
So the word gypsy... It comes from the word gyp.
Yeah.
So if you...
You're stealing.
Like you're stealing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're gypping someone. That's why it's insulting. It's a big part of why it's insulting. It's used as a slur.
Like, don't wear it on your shirt.
Right. It's used as a slur in other countries. So, you know, just be aware of the origins of words. I realize that's not what we use it for.
Yeah.
It's a word that I really, of course, related to as somebody who had a lot of wanderlust.
Right.
But you grow up.
But you gotta realize. So... I'm going to give you guys some examples of costumes not to wear, but never fear. I'm going to give you some costumes that you can wear instead.
All right, great.
I got you. We're planning for next year. It's great. You want to dress as an Eskimo? Try dressing up as a pirate. You know, whatever. You want to dress as a Muslim person? Try dressing as a Greek god or goddess. You want to do some blackface? Maybe try some non-offensive face painting. Make a skull face, but not Dia de los Muertos. Regular skull. Regular Jack Skellington.
Yes, okay.
Skull face. Paint your face like the Wicked Witch.
Be a scarecrow.
Be a scarecrow. Great. If you want to dress as a victim of a hate crime like Trayvon Martin, don't do that. Have you seen that picture? It's fucked up.
People are the worst. I hate everyone.
Maybe dress up like a piece of candy or an athlete. If you want to dress up in Asian culture, maybe find your favorite anime character. That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, cosplay is fine. Again, sans face painting. Cosplay is fine. Sans brown face.
Yeah. Face painting, like, if you're going as fucking My Little Pony, that's fine. You can face paint.
If you want to go as Marceline the Vampire Queen from Adventure Time and you want to paint your face gray, fine.
Go for it. So here, look out for unnecessarily sexualized costumes, especially for young girls. Like, there's a picture of, like, the boys Patrick from SpongeBob costume and the girls Patrick from SpongeBob costume. I'm like, fuck y'all. Oh, yeah, don't dress as Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah.
There's a picture of a guy in a dress that says, call me Caitlyn
Right,
on it.
That's not a cultural appropriation, but, like, yeah, let's also stay away from using transgender people as a joke.
Yeah. Don't make fun of ableism, fat phobia, mental illness, or rape victims. Instead, try Harley Quinn, a witch, Little Red Riding Hood, Jack Skellington, or a Ghostbuster.
Yeah, all acceptable.
Right?
I don't understand why this is difficult.
Yeah.
It's not hard to do. Like, that's the thing that it really comes down to.
Or be like that little boy. If you want to dress like Malcolm X, dress like Malcolm X without being fucking offensive.
You could be a person of that culture and just not. Paint your face black.
Yep.
It's really that easy.
It's so easy,
It's really
guys.
That easy. So to kind of wrap this up, I took this also from that Decoded video. Cultural appropriation is about a privileged group misrepresenting and disrespecting marginalized cultures. The originators rarely get credit, but always deal with the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just something to keep in mind moving forward. No one is trying to take your fun away.
No.
No one is trying to be a wet blanket. We're not over here trying to tell you how to live your life. We're just over here trying to minimize the damage that you might do to another human being.
Exactly.
Or culture.
Exactly.
Or the way that our society interprets that culture.
Exactly.
That's it.
I agree. Should we just start kind of telling people our end shit?
Yeah.
It's almost like I've never done a podcast before.
I know.
Like, how do I do this?
What's happening?
So, you guys, thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the episode. I'm going to start telling you where you can find us. Thank God.
It's a good announcement.
Who am I today? I don't know. I've been drinking champagne out of a skull mug. It's fine. So if you want to send us in any of your cultural appropriation stories, any experiences you've had, make Keegan real nice and angry so we can talk about it another time on the episodes to come. You can feel free to email us at neighborhoodfeminist@gmail.com. Feel free to send us your sister solidarity stories, your coming out stories, or just any sort of feedback or mail that you want to give us. We really, really love hearing from you guys. It's really going on Instagram. You can find us on Instagram at Angry Neighborhood Feminist. You can also find us on our very inactive Twitter at YANF Podcast, YANF Podcast. We need to practice harmonizing for that.
Oh, I just do a new harmony every time.
I love it. So you can find us there on Twitter. You can also find us on Facebook. We have a business page and a group. Please join it. Please start talking to each other. Become friends because you would all love each other. You guys have been so, so great. And I know you've been saying this for a few weeks, but you've been so, so great about rating and reviewing us on iTunes. It means so much to us. It helps us out more than you can possibly know. It makes our days so much better. So if you haven't already, please go on iTunes and rate and review. Please give us 5 stars. That would be great. We're on a roll. I don't want anything less than
Don't jinx it.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. Tell your mother. Tell your friends. Get anybody that you think would be interested in the podcast to listen. It really does help us out a lot, and we really, really appreciate you guys being so vocal with the people in your lives to get them into it as well. Do we have anything else to talk about?
I don't think so. Not right now.
All right. So, you guys, with that being said, we encourage you
to rage on.
Bye. Bye.